Welcome back to another Macam in the Middle podcast. Back again talking about another Sunderland game. Obviously, Tuesday night was a 5-0 win against Cheltenham. And yesterday was quite the opposite, I think, is fair to say. Lost 4-0 away to Portsmouth. And this is probably going to be a shorter podcast than usual for fairly obvious reasons. But I'm joined by Kyle and Dylan. And we started the podcast last week, Kyle. I think it was John I said no, it was Michael I said no. Kind of, where do you start? Because, you know, it was such a good performance, such a good win, 5 goals at home, couldn't ask for more. And I'm going to start the podcast with the same asking you, where do we start now? But for very different reasons.
maybe we just start looking ahead and then leave this one behind. But
That's all we have time for today.
Yeah. See you later, guys. Yeah. No, it's, you know, my spin zone for this one is this. You know, maybe there's more to learn from a 4-0 defeat than there is in a 5-0 victory. So, you know, maybe there's some things we can dissect from here. But where do we start? Man, it just wasn't enjoyable to any aspect. But, you know, I've kind of already come to terms with it. So I'm doing all right.
Yeah. And obviously, Dylan, you were there. Just how miserable a day was it? Everything about it.
I can confidently say it's in the top three worst days of my life. Like, watched us get absolutely smashed, got soaked through, just an all-around atrocious experience, and I hope I never have to do it again, to be honest.
Yeah, and I suppose, I'm not saying this too many times this season, but I was quite lucky in the sense that my stream didn't work very well. so I was watching it on my phone, it kept going off. I missed the third goal and the fourth goal. It was 2-0 when I switched off. It eventually came back on and we were 4-0 down. And it was like watching the Olympics swimming by the time it came back on. But Kyle, I suppose one of the things that people had said on Twitter that got me very annoyed last night, I think, as you know, was saying about, obviously, the conditions were the same for both teams. We didn't adapt. Portsmouth did, and that's why they won. Portsmouth didn't have to adapt. This is what I was saying. Portsmouth didn't have to adapt. If you've watched the games this season, if you've watched even prior to Cowley coming in for Portsmouth, they've never played football on the floor, essentially. You know, they've always played a lot of balls up the top to likes of Marquise and whoever's been up there in the past. Sunderland, they've brought the players in to play, you know, ground football, quick movement. The players that they had to start yesterday, obviously, Diaco, we haven't seen too much of him yet, but you know what you're going to bring, you know, get the ball, run past players. Embleton, Dan Neil, Serkin, all players who like to play the ball on the floor. It's not as simple as adapting.
Right, and especially too when maybe it doesn't play as much of a part, but especially when it's your own field, when it's your home field, and you're used to where these spots kind of are, regardless of kind of the conditions. You know, Portsmouth obviously knew kind of what areas of the field to attack, and especially with us, if you look, you know, even at Cheltenham, how many times did our attack start from our back, you know, back line from the left and right hand side, you know, very deep in our own half, but that part of the field was non-existent, basically, because it was submerged underwater. So we couldn't, you know, Hoffman couldn't play it out to one of our wings, who would then bring it up the field because the ball would stop, you know. And to reacting, I think you nailed it right on the head. This is the style. This is League One football. Portsmouth is a League One football team to a T. And I guess we are to an extent as well, don't get me wrong. But we've been showing signs of progressing beyond that, just the drivel of just Route One football. And that suited Portsmouth. And that's why I'm not putting too much into this game. You know, just like you said, I think Portsmouth, sure, they adapted. We couldn't, but they were way more ready to play that style of just kind of gross football.
Yeah. And Dylan, we are in League One. And realistically, you know, if I was to tell you that one of our games was going to be played on a pitch with that much water, you probably wouldn't have said it was going to be Portsmouth. So realistically, there are going to be more games like that this season. Obviously, I don't know if you were there, but you'll remember Accrington away, where we did eventually get postponed. I think Chris Maguire scored in that one. There's going to be other games with a similar condition, but they'll learn. They'll learn from it. They'll be, I'm not sure the best way to put it, but now that they've played on a pitch like that, now they know the fact that you can't pass the ball. It is literally just hoof the ball up the pitch, let the ball stop dead, and then carry it up from there. It will, in a sense, help the team going forward if, you know, the conditions are similar in the future.
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, hopefully, if we ever God forbid, have to play on a pitch like that again, will have learned that we can't play the usual football that we do when it comes to taking a touch of the ball and it stops rolling about half a foot.
Yeah.
But it's just, to be fair, it was, I think if we weren't 3-0 down already by half time, if we were like drawn out, I think it would have got called off because it was the worst thing I've ever seen.
Right.
But hopefully it'll be something that we can learn from and maybe have a bit of a backup plan in terms of what we're going to do when we can't play our favourite style. We could maybe get a bit more practice in with long ball football, even though we don't like it and we hated it under Partington and that. But sometimes we've just got a result of a bit more crap football to get a win in conditions like that.
Yeah, a bit more League One football.
Aye.
But like Dylan said there, Kyle, realistically, 9 times out of 10 on a pitch like that, I mean, you've probably seen the videos of them kind of like trying to push the water off the pitch before the game kicked off. And, you know, the water was coming up to like shin height, possibly even knee height at times. 9 times out of 10, that game gets called off before it even starts. And it's kind of amazing that it didn't, because there was videos going around, obviously, for a game to go ahead when the conditions are like that. There's like certain aspects that the referee and official need to follow. Does the ball bounce? Definitely didn't yesterday. Don't know whether they tried all parts of the pitch, but it definitely wouldn't have bounced. You know, the ball, I think there was one of the videos where I think Doyle goes to clear the ball, and like Dylan said, it literally went a yard up the pitch. And it's just games like that where you are going to get big injuries. Luckily, I don't think anything happened yesterday in terms of that. But in games like that, that is when you're going to get injuries that possibly leave players out for the season.
Right. And we were just our own worst enemy in that regard, because if we didn't consistently concede kind of at the... I just found myself saying, you know, after the first goal, okay, obviously we're still in it. And then it was that second goal. I immediately was like, okay, as long as we can just get into halftime, just 2-0, I think we'll be all right. Maybe they'll consider calling it off. But then they scored the third, and I was like, okay, well, there's that, you know.
Yeah.
But it does make you wonder, you know, if it was not us down there that day, let's say it was like a crew Alexandria, just for example, you know, would the game have been called off, right? I think it was almost the brand, and how, you know, there was a pretty decent crowd there from what it looked like, I guess. For those,
I'm not sure who sold the line at Portsmouth had sold out, like, because it definitely wasn't
right, yeah. And maybe it was the weather, maybe everyone was kind of packed back into it. But it was just, we didn't do ourselves any favors. That was the problem, because it would have, don't get me wrong, as much as I would have said, yeah, let's call off the game down 3-0, but it wouldn't look right. And I don't know, it was pretty shit. All across the board.
Yeah.
And there were some other games that were getting called off as well. And I don't think the Portsmouth ground crew really put in a whole lot of effort, if that makes sense. I think they kind of knew that, like, hey, this game's probably going to continue. Let's just leave the field as is. And there's a great, if you guys are on Reddit at all, the Sunderland AFC Reddit, SAFC Reddit, there's a great video edit. It's like a 2-minute montage of the man of the match, which is the Portsmouth pitch. So if you guys want to take a look at that, it's pretty funny.
Well, and I'm sure you were probably you'd probably be hoping for a similar downpour of rain where you are at the moment, aren't you?
Yeah, seriously, it's been so dry all the time. Yeah. So it's great seeing all that rain, but at the same time, it's like, man, what's going on here? So
yeah. Well, after a game like that, Dylan, it is obviously easy to say on a good pitch you win that game, or, you know, you come out with a point, you come out with 3 points, whatever. In an offensive sense, potentially, you know, I think the pitch does play a huge part. You know, offensively for Sunderland, like I say, the players that they've got, the type of football they play. If you look at the goals that we scored against Cheltenham, you know, Broadhead getting the ball off Stewart, running with it, playing a through ball. Just, there was none of that. It wasn't really possible yesterday. But there's no excuse for conceding 4 goals in the way that we did.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, even weather aside, we were just atrocious. Like, there's no excuse for the performance that they put on, and fair enough that they couldn't play the usual like brand of football that they want to. But I was just watching them try and play it out from the back, and it was almost laughable at times. Like, Hoffman would just, like, pass it to Bailey Wright, and then we pass it around the defense a few times, try and pick a ball up, and then they just intercept it and come straight back at us. It was quite embarrassing to be honest. We were just getting laughed at by the home fans for 90 minutes straight. I couldn't believe what I was saying. But, I mean, it said a lot when it got the point where Hoffman was like just rushing about 20 yards out of his goal just to hoof the ball because he knew nobody else
could
do it. I found that quite entertaining. I was quite impressed by that, but everybody else was shocking, to be fair, except for Doyle when he came on. He was all right, but there wasn't much he could have done at that point.
Yeah. Well, look at the team and kind of try and talk about that for a little bit. obviously Hoffman in goal, Winchester, Flanagan, Wright and Sirkin, Evans, Unayan, Dayaku for his first start, Embleton, Aidan O'Brien, Ross Stewart. Callum Doyle was on the bench, Kyle. So was Dan Neil. Two players that have been two of our most important players this season. Callum Doyle's been excellent at the back, and obviously Dan Neil's probably been, you know, our best midfielder, one of our best players all season. If they're fit enough to be in the squad, do you start them? Is there any reason not to start them?
Right. And maybe it was out of just an abundance of caution. And maybe, especially with our recent run of form, obviously you want to win every game, right? And we've been on a pretty bang on, you know, run of form. You know, maybe this was kind of a free hit from Johnson saying, like, you know what, these guys have, they played well recently, you know, especially the likes of O'Brien and, you know, Dejaku scored the last game, you know, so maybe this was one more opportunity to say, okay, let's, you know, if you guys want to earn your spot, here's a great chance. I don't think it really served anybody well, to be honest. I don't think it mattered if, you know, Ronaldo was starting for us. I just don't think it would have gotten on just because of the conditions. But, you know, some questions for sure, but I think it's just almost going to be impossible to really extract, you know, any type of performance out of this, because it was just so unlike, it was really unlike anything I've seen in quite some time, the inability to get anything going on our end.
Yeah. And as you've probably seen it on Twitter as well, Dylan, about people saying that Johnson, you know, he knew the conditions obviously prior to the game starting and then got the team selection wrong based on that. But with the conditions in mind, what would have been a perfect team selection there, realistically?
I don't think there was one. There was no team. With the squad we have, there's no starting 11 we could have fielded that would have put on a decent performance in those conditions. And I mean, obviously, that it's not Johnson's fault about the weather. But I see, I'd like to think he was going through some sort of mastermind plan where having Neil and Doyle on the bench, he looked at the weather and was like, people could possibly get injured in this game, so I don't want to risk our best players. And again, it's probably going to be a bit of a write-off anyway. So if that was his thinking, fair enough. But but the start 11 was a bit tragic. Like Aidan O'Brien was just, don't even get me started on him. I'm like, I never want to see him play again.
Yeah. And we've talked about O'Brien a lot, Kyle, but obviously, you go back to the Blackpool game a lot, and that's mainly because, you know, that's the one game that he's actually done something in. And I think he was playing central there. But there's just so many times, you know, we'll come on and do a podcast after a game, after a league game, after a cup game or whatever. And again, conditions yesterday, we've probably mentioned it about 40 times already about the conditions, but it is going to be difficult to do too much. But not just yesterday, just in general. What does O'Brien do?
he tries very hard. I'll give him that. And that's half the battle, because we've seen the opposite where you can see people out there just not trying at all. But I don't know if it's a matter of not having him in the correct position. And I know we tried to switch him around occasionally. And he does really, you know, hustle. I agree. I'm not going to sit here and try to, you know, super defend O'Brien. I like him as, you know, a character on the team and things like that. I think he provides good depth. I also won't be surprised, though, if he's loaned off in January, that type of thing, because I think we just have more dynamic players.
Well, it was meant to be a loan. I think it was Doncaster,
right.
I think.
Right, and
it was in the summer that he was meant to go on loan to, and then Sunderland actually forwarded the wrong papers, I think it was. So the intent for him to go out on loan was clearly there as well.
Right, and so maybe that stuck with it, but, you know, credit to him, he has shown up and he hasn't sulked. He hasn't, you know, like we've seen, you know, another striker that was on our team that thankfully isn't anymore. You know, it's tough to watch, because, you know, you want him to do well, and we saw flashes of it in the cup run, you know, against Blackpool. But like I said, I think we just have more dynamic options. But I'm never going to complain about having depth, and he's good enough for this league. It's not like he's out of his depth by any means. But is he good enough for us at this very specific moment? Probably not. I think he plays a role, but it's more just a depth spot. But like I said, I wouldn't be surprised if we lose him in January, and whether that's by design or not, you know, maybe he deserves to play more, you know, first team and, you know, full 90 minutes. So we'll see. But yeah, no, I agree. I don't really know exactly what he brings to the table.
Yeah. There is one thing that I think he's okay at, Dylan, and I'm sure you've probably seen it, Warzone on COD. I know you've seen his streams.
I don't watch them, but I see I see he's posting the links on his Twitter and that all the time. Don't get us wrong. He seems like a nice bloke, and he does give like 100% effort. But I just kind of get away with him. Like James Vaughan used to give 100% effort, but he just wasn't good enough. And I think this is the same with Aidan O'Brien. He's not good enough to play. Now I'm not forcing it. Just in the system that we're playing, especially when he's being played off the left, he clearly just can't do what we need him to do. So I think if there's an opportunity to get rid of Shifton in January and maybe bring in another forward who we could be using in rotation, that would probably be a better option.
Yeah. Well, as much as I try to, there's really not awfully much to talk about the game in general, Kyle. And it obviously finished 4-0. Portsmouth, Marquis scoring twice, Lee Brown, and I think it was Harness got the other one for Portsmouth. So it finished 4-0. It was, you know, the second defeat of the season. I think we're still second as it stands, but obviously Plymouth will play next weekend, well, as we won't, so they could potentially go above us. And there's always a mixed reaction on Twitter saying, you know, this is one of them games you just have to forget, move on, pretend it never happened. But then Lee Johnson comes out at the end of the game saying, you don't forget, it was either Lee Johnson or Flanagan actually, you don't forget this game, you want to remember it because you obviously don't want to lose 4-0 again, you don't want to feel like this, you don't want the fans to be making a 14-hour journey to right. Be absolutely drenched and go home, possibly as depressed as they've been in a while. Which kind of aspect do you look at it? Do you think it is one that you just forget, it's an anomaly, you're not really going to have many games like that this season, or is it one that you remember and try and build on in case that situation comes up again?
I mean, if memory serves with the goals, what's interesting is as terrible as the pitch was, their goals kind of came from, you know, openish play or more so like normal opportunities, right? It wasn't like the ball was stuck four or five times and everyone's crashed into each other and the ball slipped through. I mean, the first goal was, you know, Harness it just at the top of the box and just had really nice shot. But, you know, why was he open there? And even with the deflection off the set piece, you know, I think to go up 3-0, it's the same type of thing. You know, why wasn't marking tighter? So I think there are moments within the game that you can analyze and dissect and say, okay, we got to do better in these specific situations. And I think Flanagan nailed it with just, you don't want to forget because, yeah, you know, hopefully this won't define our season by any means. Yeah. But it's definitely a learning lesson. And I think for Johnson right now, you know, we have the cup game on Tuesday, but the game against Gillingham, I think our next league game is just ultra important to get 3 points because I just don't want to start hearing the streaky Johnson nonsense. I just don't, you know, I just want to believe that this is different. So, you know, full speed ahead for Gillingham. You know, obviously, let's get things back, you know, on track with this cup game. But yeah, that Gillingham game, and I feel like we always just have a weird one-off draw or, you know, last second defeats against Gillingham. Now would not be the time for that.
Yeah. And I think it was, Dylan, that this is now the most defeats we've had in League One in the opening 10 games. I think we're a point better off now than we were last season. But obviously the draws that we've had in previous season have turned into wins. So it kind of balances itself out a little bit. You're not going to win every game in League One, or in any league for that matter, regardless what team you are. Look at PSG with Messi. They've lost 2-0 today. They're not going to win every game. It is literally impossible. But it is important that, you know, this is a one-off game. This is a one-off performance. And, you know, obviously they've got the cup game on Tuesday against Lincoln, which people will say is important. Some people will say it's not. But you've got the next league game against Gillingham. It is important that you then put it right.
Yeah, definitely. I think for this cup game, we just need to just put a foot. Everyone, if a full strength side is available and everyone's fit, just play them all and just try and absolutely smash them. Because we had a big win, and then it got completely cancelled out with a horrible loss, and we just need to get the confidence back and play some like the football we've been playing. Get back in this good form because we can't be putting on performances like that ever again if we want to get promoted. And obviously I still think we will. I'm still very confident that we're going to win the league. Obviously that might come back to bite us in the arse on my luck. But it's just one of those things we just need to get out of the system as soon as possible. Forget it. Maybe forget the result, but don't forget the performance. And then just remember and make sure that each individual never plays like that again.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, Kyle, we would normally do player ratings, which just seems very pointless at this point. You know, I think you've maybe got your Hoffman at like a 5 or a 6 because I don't think you did much wrong. But then other than that, you're not really rating them as footballers and more of, you know, groundsmen or divers with the conditions that they were. So I think we'll skip the ratings for this week, and it will hopefully be a one-off that we do that. And instead, we'll look a little bit ahead to the next league game, which again is a week on, well, 2 weeks yesterday against Dueling. Well, see, Oxford was next Saturday at home. That's been postponed again due to internationals. But Gillingham's next league game, Kyle. I'm not sure on Broadhead. I think he might be fit for that game. I think Johnson said he was out for a fortnight. Obviously, he picked up that injury on the Tuesday. So I'm not entirely sure if he would make that or not. But going on the basis that he might be fit and he might be available for selection, what team do you go with? Again, do you go with the team that has started the season very well? Your Dan Neil, Elliot Embleton, obviously Gooch had a marginal return from injury then as well. Or do you go with the team that smashed Cheltenham 5-0?
I probably the one that has a more data to kind of back it, which is the starting team, right? The one that's got us to this point. The 5-0, I think that was a perfect combination of you had so much talent on your bench that was really hungry to kind of prove that they belong, and it all kind of gelled with a great home performance, right? I just don't think you're getting that sort of production week in and week out. I think you go back to what's gotten you to this point. You know, maybe this break, you know, the loss, obviously, you never want to go into an extended break after a loss. But, you know, I think timing-wise, with kind of we were starting to get banged up a little bit, and we had, you know, Corey Evans coming back, and, you know, we never know with him. Same with Pritchard, you know, those types of injury histories. Maybe this is coming at a good spot. We can kind of really rest, refocus, you know, get our full-strength squad back. Getting Gooch back is going to help, I think, you know, at least give us some more options. But I like the likes of Dzaku and Broadhead. I like those to come off the bench because I think they do provide a different option. And all they needed was confidence to, you know, to get the ball in the back of the net. And I think they saw that in the Cheltenham game. So, yeah, I say you go with your strongest 11 and use those guys as coming off the bench because I think they can change the game quite drastically.
Yeah. And is the Gillingham game now, Dylan, a game where you go in thinking we need to win it regardless of performance? Or is this a game that you go into thinking if we take a draw out of it but perform well and obviously get the performances back up to where they are, it can still be seen as a positive?
I think we need a win just under any circumstances. Like, let it go in off Tom Flanagan's arse in the 90th minute.
Yeah.
It's at the point where, realistically, it's our fourth season in League One. We need to win the league, and we keep this. We were 3 points clear, and now we're second on goal difference. So just get the 3 points and then try and get back on the top of the table, and then just focus on staying there from that point onwards.
Yeah. Well, I've tried to drag this out as long as I possibly could have. Because, like I said, there just really wasn't awfully much to talk about. It wasn't much of a game. It was more of a, you know, check Twitter every 2 minutes to see what the next tweet was about the weather and how it was developing, whether the game was going to get postponed or not. But it didn't in the end. We've lost just a complete write-off, realistically, both performance and podcast, really. And I'm quite amazed that Graham, obviously, What the Fork, managed to get 45, 50 minutes out of a podcast after this. I'm not entirely sure how he managed that. I'll have to message him and find out. But predictions.
Audio from crying, because that would have been
awesome. I mean, I didn't listen to the last 15 minutes of it, so that could have been just a bit of a filler. I might have to check.
We could bring up your Twitter arguments. We could go through that if you want to.
But we'll leave them out of it. I don't need another day of thinking that way. Yeah. We'll leave them. But we'll do predictions, Kyle. I mean, we'll do two predictions. The lineup you think we'll do, and the score for Gillingham.
Oof. All right, so that's put me on the spot a little bit. So, you know, obviously Stewart up top, you know, we got Hoffman back in goal. You know, I liked Sirkin a lot coming into this. I don't think he was one that kind of stuck out to me a little bit in the Portsmouth game, and I said I wouldn't really take too much out of that, but, man, he just didn't look up for it. So, you know, whether it's him or Huggins, I think we're going to be totally fine there, but I bet it's going to be Sirkin. We're going to have Doyle back, obviously Flanagan. And then in the midfield pairing, I want to see Neil back. I think Corey Evans and Dan Neil could be a really good option. Or even if you go back to 09 and Dan Neil as well, I think that's going to be kind of the – I think the rest of it really picks itself with McGeady. And if Gooch is healthy, I think Gooch is coming back. But I think it's really that midfield pairing right now that's kind of the only thing in the balance. You know, how do we fit Dan Neil into the squad, right? I think that's kind of the missing piece. So I think depending on what we see Gillingham, I think that is going to be, like I said, kind of a soft reset for the team. I think that team that comes out is pretty indicative of Johnson's first 11.
Yeah. And yeah, score prediction for the game?
Oh, gosh. Like I said, I like
5-0.
I feel like Gillingham is always that team. We're up like 2-1, and then in the 90th minute, they have like a 60-yard throw-in that deflects four times and goes to the goal. So, you know, I'll probably say it's going to be 2-1 up until the 90th, and instead of them scoring to tie it, we're going to score to go up 3-1, and it's going to be Dejaku coming off the bench.
Interesting. And then Dylan, the team you either would like to see or would expect to see at Gillingham first.
I'll do the team I'd like to see. I'll go Hoffman in goal, Sirkin left back, Doyle, Flanagan. I want to say Niall Huggins at right back. Like, I just can't really like him. Like, Carl Winchester's been very good, but I just want to see Huggins get some more game time. In the midfield, I'd probably have Neil and Evans. I think 09 should be dropped after yesterday. I'd rather play Neil and Evans than get rid of one of them two to keep 09 in the fold. I don't know if Emmett maybe got a bit of a knock yesterday. I saw him limping at one point after going down. But if he's fine, Embleton, and then I think I'd have McGeady, Dejaku, and Stewart.
Ooh.
Very nice. And predictions for that one? Are you going with a very close Gillingham-esque game as well?
No, to be fair, before Kyle said, I had 3-1 in mind as well. So hopefully we're a strong mind, great minds think alike, because it's going to happen. I think I'm going to try and get at that one. So if we get beat, I'll probably have a mental breakdown. So hopefully we can.
You just got to stop going if they get beat.
I've had enough. If I go again, we get beat.
It's a sign to stay away. Have you been to any away games that we've won this season?
I went.
I'm trying to think of which away games have we actually won this season, because that was one of the things people said on Twitter, wasn't it? Our away form this season.
I went to MK Dons, we won that. I went to Burton and we got beat. And I went to Portsmouth and we got beat. So let's have 2-for-2 and hopefully Gillingham wouldn't beat them.
Very true. Oh, that's fine. Yeah. I'll take a win. I'll take a 5-0 win. We'll get our goal difference back up a little bit. But that is the time that we can stretch to today. I would say the time we have, but it's not the time we have, it's the time we can stretch to. So we'll obviously be back probably after the Gillingham game. Might have something in between now and then, if not. But we'll be back after the Gillingham game to talk about that. Kyle and Dylan, appreciate you coming on and talking about as much as we could, realistically.
It's cathartic. Don't let it go.
It is. But we'll be back on the Sunday, which I think is the... But we'll be back on the Sunday after the Gillingham game to talk about it. But until then, we'll see you later. That's all, folks.